special lunch bunch. We have four people in studio. Ooh. We're bending the rules. from 93.9 Bob FM, DJ extraordinaire, Vinny White. Vinny, how are you today?
Hello, my friend. I'm very good, thanks.
Very nice to have you here.
Always a pleasure, never a chore, dear Greg.
Well, that makes it for one of us anyway. Jen Farr from Amnesty International. Jen, how are you today?
I'm great.
You're
Thanks
great.
For having me here. Yeah.
Now,
I'm excited.
You've brought along tiaras for everyone.
Yes,
I know
lovely.
She's not wearing them, though.
Well, we have our headset. Here, I'll get mine on over my headset.
My head's too big. Not egotistically. I am actually egotistically as well, but physically huge.
And I have no hair, so the tiara doesn't really have anything to hang on to.
Yeah, the little pointy bits might stab your head a little.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the two of you have come together to put on a very special event in Ottawa this evening at Helsinki Nightclub, which is, in fact, just down the street from our studios here in the Byward Market.
Stumbling distance.
Stumbling distance, some might say. Tell us a little bit more about what's happening at Helsinki tonight. It's an event called Banging British Beats.
Yeah, the name gives most of it away, I would say, but but I can elaborate a little. It's a retrospective of dance music from the UK. I love Ottawa, as you know, Greg, but I do get a little bit frustrated with the amount of Counting Crows covers in Irish pubs. So I figured it was about time to introduce a bit of new music here in Ottawa. And I used to do a lot of dance music DJing in the UK, and I've taken a break for a few years, and I'm starting to wake up at night in cold sweats missing it. So I thought I'd change it up a bit and throw a party here at Helsinki Nightclub that plays a lot of dance, trance and breaks. So a little bit of stuff to get your boogie onto. Prodigy, Depeche Mode, Underworld, Sasha, New Order, Fatboy Slim. Because there's so much dance music talent that's come out of the UK in the last couple of decades. And I thought I'd put it all in one place, under one roof, under one title.
Now, it's an interesting concept, and I agree with you, first of all, that there is certainly no shortage of English and Irish pubs in Ottawa, and it's nice to have something a little different to go and check out. But how do you combine British dance music with a fundraiser effort for Amnesty International?
Well, I've always had a great heart for Amnesty International and the work they do, and it's always been, should I ever have held an event, the charity that I choose. And I was lying in bed one night, Greg. I don't want to get into the details of what exactly I was wearing, but it suddenly occurred to me that if I was going to do a night, then I might as well do it for charity, on the understanding that it might bring a few more people through the door and make me feel a bit better about what I was doing and just generally make the world a groovy place. So that was the dead set from the outset. So I looked up Jen Farr on the internet here in Ottawa, and the rest is becoming, slowly, history.
All right. So, Jen, tell us a bit more about the work that you do, and were you surprised to hear from Vinny?
Oh, well, I wish there were more Vinnies out there, because it's nice to have someone...
My mum has never said that.
Yeah. It's nice to have someone call you up and say, you know, I want to do something for Amnesty, and, you know, I've got the talent, I've got the skills and the experience, and basically, can I have your permission to do you this favor? So it's been great and exciting, and I've bought $30 worth of British themed candy for one of the door prizes. And it just fits in so well, because Amnesty International just had its birthday yesterday. It's 47 years old.
47.
And probably older than any of us in this room. But it was founded in the UK. So, you know, Vinny's from that part of the world. That's where Amnesty's from. We really do not get enough dance and trance music in Ottawa, so it fits perfectly. And you are encouraged to dress up.
Okay, in what way?
Is that where the tiaras come in?
Well, that's why I did bring in the tiaras at Catherine of Helsinki's suggestion.
I'm a bit scared about what's happening this evening. Can you explain to me? I got an email from you saying you got 14 people dressed in drag. Is that right?
Well, 14 of my friends have confirmed that they're coming, and I have encouraged them to come in drag.
And like, when you say drag, are they British schoolgirls?
Or the queen. I mean, okay, so if you dress up...
Or the queen.
Or the same
more
thing.
Likely.
Or Dame Edna. I mean, it depends on how well they pull it off, really.
I see.
But,
Bob FM listeners coming as Queen Elizabeth II. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
And so the one we've got now is the third?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't do royals. I only found out about that Royal Canadian Wedding the other week.
Oh, right.
I didn't even know who they were. Those people
Chestnut
were.
Chestnut or Kelly.
See,
something.
You're no
I
use.
Can't remember. Yeah. Well, my mom's the Anglophile. We should have had her. Coronation Street all over the place. But yeah, so if you dress up, this is Catherine's idea, and I hope she's got
Catherine
a lot of booze.
Catherine's the owner, the manager of Helsinki.
Yeah, the very... Woo!
She's very excited about the whole event
as
well.
Yeah, she's very excited. And so she's asked for sponsorship, and basically if you dress up as the queen, Catherine will buy you a drink. But if you dress up as a British schoolgirl, you get staff prices on gin and tonics all night long.
And that applies for the men as well.
Totally. Oh, it's way more fun.
We're not sexist, Greg.
No, not at all.
And actually, I can announce, so this is new, and I only found this out last night. She's been in touch with Bacardi, and apparently, I haven't told you this yet, but also this evening, amongst the other prizes that are donated from the Scottish and Irish store that you've bought from Sugar Candy Mountain or whatever it is, and various other places, Bacardi have donated a flight to the UK as one of the
winners. They have not.
Yeah, very
you can
nice.
Win a trip to England.
Oh, let me guess, we're not eligible to win, are
no,
we?
I think
probably not.
No, I don't think so.
Oh my God,
your
that's a great
charitable nature has somewhat come out.
Fantastic prizes. You get to go out and have fun, dance to some different music in Ottawa for a bit of a change, and raise money for a fantastic cause at the same time. And Sandra, I wanted to ask you about this because, you know, we get spoiled. We talk about sometimes the Canadian lifestyle and how far removed we are from the plight of many other parts of the world and how easy it is to forget about the message that Amnesty International delivers. Is this something that, you know, you think of from time to time? Is it because obviously working in the news, we see
absolutely.
It a bit more.
Yeah, I do. I totally agree with you. I think that we sometimes get maybe a more accurate window on some of the other parts of the world and the realities that some people are dealing with. I'm particularly struck by some of Vinny and I were talking about this just beforehand. He was speaking about it with all of us. But some of the regimes that are in power in places like Africa, it's just, it's really, really sobering. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we always are cognizant of how incredibly lucky we are to live the way we live in the place we live. So, yeah, what an amazing reminder, something like this.
And is that something that you've picked up on as well, Vinny? Because obviously you've done a bit of traveling. And where would Canada slot in your estimation of how well aware is this country of what's happening elsewhere in the world?
I don't want to start a political argument. I think you're a lot more knowledgeable than the US, but I do think that there's big, possibly because of your geography and the fact that you're so cut off, you're not entirely, you're not entirely in the eye of the world, and you don't seem to quite outreach enough. And I think that for me is where Amnesty come in so handily. And it's exactly the same in the UK as well. There's a lot of people that wouldn't realise about the repressive regimes in Africa or other parts of the world if it wasn't for Amnesty picking a particular subject, sometimes one individual, drawing attention on him or her and their plight, perhaps their family's been repressed, perhaps they've been tortured brutally, sometimes without any trial, or sometimes perhaps without it's only based on their beliefs and not anything they've legitimately done wrong. And with Amnesty focusing some light on that and showing the world, I think it's really important that people can grasp hold of it and start realising that this person that they've chosen to concentrate on represents thousands, sometimes millions of people. Mm-hmm. So just by, I think they're very clever in the way that they do things, in that they give it a human face. And people can relate to that. And then they suddenly realise the plight of many thousands of individuals as a result. So I think it's hugely important. Amnesty sending a message out to Canada and various other countries to just get this message across.
We were talking about this before we went to air just a few minutes ago. And I'm surprised for someone who's so opposed to oppressive totalitarian regimes that you chose a career in radio.
I haven't been out of this building in weeks. They work me on the weekend.
Just before we go to break, maybe we can just pick up on that point quickly and tell us how you plan to try to balance the energy tonight, because you are bringing in a very serious message, but you're doing it under the guise of having some fun.
That's a really good question. And we had a meeting about this, Jen, Catherine and I, because we could, theoretically, have posters around the place with brutal totalitarian imagery. Who wants that? But
exactly.
That's why Jen has made all sorts of outrageous could you describe what you're displaying at the moment, perhaps?
Okay. I work at Amnesty International. Seriously, everyone who's coming out tonight that knows me, we're going to be having fun. Mm. To me, the fundraiser, just being on the radio and getting to talk about Amnesty International, just that blip on the radar, in, you know, contrast to how much time does Britney Spears get with her children this week, this is a big deal for us. So I've got a picture of the Queen's head stuck on a Spice Girl, And she's boogieing, and they'll be hung around the bar, and we'll have big pictures of Queen Elizabeth. And
Spice Girls, in fact, will be there as well.
Spice Girl lookalikes. I was trying to get my husband to be the fifth Spice Girl. he would totally, he's got the best wig. Seriously.
Can I just say at this point that the Spice Girls are female, although there will be lots of people in drag. I think the Spice Girls are mostly female.
I don't know.
We're going to take a quick break on the Thursday Lunch Bunch. Talking with Jen Farr from Amnesty International, Bob FM's Vinny White, A-Channel Sandra Blakey. My name's Greg Hebert. I hope you wrote that all down. We'll leave you with a quick sample of Vinny's DJing prowess. We'll be right back after the break.
Farm Boy is pleased to be lunch bunching with you.
I am absolutely positive that is the first time The Prodigy has ever aired on 580.
Breaking boundaries every day.
I think Lola's used that.
You
as
think
a
so?
Brain.
Yeah. It's the Thursday Lunch Bunch, 1248 on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA. My name's Greg Hebert, along with A-Channel's Sandra Blakey and 93.9 Bob FM's Vinny White. And Jen Farr from Amnesty International. We're talking about an event happening at Helsinki Nightclub tonight. It's called Banging British Beats. You just heard some of those beats as we came back from commercial there. DJ Vinny White is going to be spinning tunes this evening, the likes of which you don't normally hear in the capital, all for a fantastic cause, raising money for Amnesty International. It's really inexpensive, a $5 cover at the door, and really all you have to do is show up at Helsinki tonight.
That's
with
exactly
$5
right.
in your pocket.
$5, that's all we ask. Now, if you want to give more of a donation, you can. Plus, there's going to be a draw for various different prizes, which I won't go into now, but there's a good amount with donations from stores such as the Scottish and Irish store and other individuals that have got involved. So there will be a chance to give a bit more money and a chance to get a bit more back. Hey, eh?
Fantastic. Yeah,
was that a sales pitch there, wasn't it?
Not the least of which.
No.
Not the least of which was a trip to England.
Yeah, that's been donated by Bacardi. Not bad, is it?
Sandra, you had some questions regarding the origins here.
Well, we got chatting a little bit about the realities of Amnesty International and the beginnings of Amnesty International. And it was interesting, Jen, because you and I were saying, I think a lot of folks sort of see this monolithic, organized reality. They don't really realize there's a way for them to get involved with it. They don't know a lot about the history of it. It's got a proud history.
It's true. Well, we just had our 47th birthday yesterday, and it started really small. And it was this one guy who was a lawyer in the UK named Robert Benenson, and he read an article in his local paper about three Portuguese students who were in a public restaurant. They raised a toast to freedom and were put in jail for that. And that was, I guess, his eureka moment, the moment where he realized, whoa, there's something going on. So he spent the next year doing these newspaper articles that was called something like A Year for Amnesty, or he was basically trying to raise people's awareness and let them know what was going on almost all over the world. And then from that, just people joined his cause. He, you know, it started just with one guy, and it just grew. And it is a true grassroots organization. I mean, we are member-based. We run completely off donations. So no sponsorship from government, no grants or anything like that. Yeah, it's 100% off member donations. And they do most of the work.
Could you give us an idea of perhaps a success story where Amnesty's made quite a large difference in the last few years, something that you focused on that where it's been a real achievement?
Well, one of the first former prisoners of conscience that I met was a woman named Dita Sari. She was a labor activist who was jailed basically for requesting that she and her fellow coworkers have fair working conditions. And just meeting her and knowing, wow, you were imprisoned for what your beliefs were and trying to make the world a better place, and now you're standing in front of me, and it's just the craziest
feeling. How did Amnesty help to sort of draw attention to her?
Well, it's usually the way we operate is letter writing. You know, we do have e-petitions and emails, and you can even text for freedom in some places in the UK. But the absolute gold standard, the thing that gets a politician's attention the most, is a handwritten letter. And if people write enough letters, you know, you just can't.
And sometimes when you focus on a particular individual, you end up getting quite literally tens of thousands of these letters. Do you?
That is possible with some of the cases, yeah.
And in which case, it's very difficult for a regime, no matter how oppressive, to ignore that, isn't it? So it sort of draws that, right, we better do something about this because the world's looking at us and we can't get away with what we're doing.
Yeah, and I mean, we even have things called urgent actions, and it is possible for, you know, it used to be telegrams that got sent, but of course now it's emails and faxes. But people can be what we call disappeared, and that's when the government or the militia or whatever takes someone, and there can be such fast action thanks to the World Wide Web that that person can be released within hours.
I want to pick up on what you were mentioning about members, because you said you're not taking any donations from various levels of government or corporate sponsorship. Anyone can join Amnesty International.
That's correct. And we are in, since I've been working there, which is about 8 years, in our first membership drive, and trying to let people know that, you know, if you think that there's something wrong with the world, you really can make a difference. You can join Amnesty International either by going to amnesty.ca or calling our local number, which is 744-7667. And funnily enough, I'll be on the phones in about 45 minutes and I'll be answering your calls. But you know, you can even just show up at the event tonight, grab a postcard, or we're going to be at a whole bunch of events. We've got great volunteers that are just so dedicated. They give their weekends, they give their evenings, trying to just get the message out there.
How big an organization is it now? Do you know how many people would be involved?
Worldwide, we have 2 million members.
Wow.
In Canada, we have 70,000 members. And we estimate that about 6,000 of those people across Canada are active activists. Hmm. So they're field workers, they're coordinators. I mean, they'll know everything about one country or everything about, say, tasers, and just trying to chip away at some of the problems that exist in the world.
And once again, the event tonight is Banging British Beats at Helsinki Nightclub. It's 15 George Street in the Byward Market, right down the street from the Chum Market Media Mall. And Vinnie White will be spinning the tunes, a mix of old and new British flair. Something that you don't get very much of in the capital. And
put your hands in the air and wave them around like you just don't care.
We're going to be dancing till 2 a.m.
If, like me, you can't dance, then all you need to do is act out as if you're demonstrating the shape of a cardboard box. And generally speaking, no one will have any idea, and you'll look very sexy.
Now, what if you have a drink in your hand?
If you have a drink in your hand, then you are going to cause an accident.
Chad, when we started, you said Vinny approached you and basically asked your permission to do you a favor.
That's what it felt like.
Would you like that kind of involvement from others in the community?
Oh, yeah. Well, in the fall, we're going to have this thing called Small Places to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the United Declaration, a Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And basically, anyone who knows someone who can play an instrument or cook something fancy or whatever, you can have your own Amnesty event, either an awareness-raising event or a fundraiser.
Oh, that's great.
Mm. Yeah, we're grassroots. We rely on ordinary people raising their voice and making a difference.
Well, we've got just about a minute left here, so I will wish you the best of luck tonight. And I would advise those of our listeners out there who are fans of British music might like to get their dance on tonight to arrive early, because Helsinki's not that big a club, and I'm sure it'll fill up very, very quickly.
I hope so. I did a practice last night, and I had sweaty palms.
Oh!
And I couldn't sleep last night. I was up all night. I had to knock myself out with a glass of wine.
I'm sure you'll be great. It's Banging British Beats. It's happening at Helsinki tonight. It starts around 9 o'clock, $5 at the door. You can't get a better deal in town than that. It's once again 15 George Street in the Byward Market. And tune in for A Channel News at 6 this evening, broadcasting live from Scotiabank Place. Everything you ever wanted to know about Kanata tonight, Sandra.
But we're afraid to ask.
Is there anything that nefarious about Kanata?
We'll find out tonight at 6.
Thank you all for being here today.
Thank
it's been
you
a
very
lot of fun.
Much. Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll leave you with another taste of Vinny's spinning abilities. Michael Harris Live follows the 1 o'clock news. Have a great day.
We'll be right back.